Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Rob, from the Into Action Group from Newcastle, Delaware.
I'm Rob, and I'm an alcoholic. The greatest show on earth, AA. My sobriety date's 12/26/2001. I have a home group in action, and I have a sponsor. My sponsor has taken me through the steps in a way that I would never even imagine where I would be at today. I am so gifted. I have people in my life that care about me. I care about them. And there's only one other thing that I can ever recall in my course of my sobriety is when I got on my knees on 12/25/2001 and I said I needed help. I can remember looking in the telephone book looking for Alcoholics Anonymous, and I couldn't find it. Go figure. You know? I have 20 years of destruction, and I couldn't find AA in the telephone book. And that day, I called my brother on 12/26 that night. And there was a noose on some guy's rafters, and I wanted to kill myself because I thought I would be better off dead than to live this world. And luckily, he picked up on the third ring. And I said, I need help. And he knew from my voice that it was true. Because I don't know how many times I called him and said, yo, I need help. Yeah, get me out of this one. Because he's pretty powerful. And then I was on my way to AA. But before that time, before I even made that call of desperation, it all started when I was 14. It started in grade school, high school, drinking. I didn't think I could be socially acceptable without drinking. And for me, it's the other substance, too. I'm a garbage head. My main purpose in life was running with the four horsemen, and I had the seven deadly sins in my pocket. And if I was having a bad day, you were, too. And, you know, I went through that high school. I don't even remember graduating. That's how bad it was. We were drinking before that, and I got a diploma. I don't know how many times I was in a disciplinary's office in that course of that high school. You know, we were on first name basis too, and then you could smoke in school then. And you know, I used to go in there and you got a cigarette, Mr. I. His name was Mr. I. Delcastle. And we would sit there and he says, "What you do now?" He goes, "Don't you understand?" And I couldn't understand. I was young, dumb, egotistic. I knew everything. I knew how to run the world. And then the next thing I know, I graduated, and then the destruction really came in my life to where, you know, I was powerless over alcohol, and my life was unmanageable. It was so unmanageable that I couldn't even realize the truth from the false. It even says in the beginning of the book, men and women drink because they like the effects produced by alcohol. It is so elusive that after time they can't justify the truth from the false. And that's word to word. Because my first sponsor, Big Book Jackie, took me through that book. He took me places where I never even imagined. No amount of alcohol could ever provide the gift that I have in front of me right now. To share my experience, strength, and hope, and my primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. That's my main purpose. And not the row to boat, as they call it. Let God do things for me. Because, you know, those thousand forms of fear are still there. But I have tools that automatically come in a snap of a finger that I get out of any situation in my head. because my head's out to kill me. It wants me dead. And, you know, then I, the insanity is, yeah, I ran with some pretty powerful people, and, you know, my destruction, I almost killed somebody down Cecil County Dragway. And guess what? I swore that day when I was in a hospital, I can't feel this finger. I got an arrow on my knee. I almost killed the guy. We were in a little S10. I couldn't make the turn. They still don't know who was driving, but, you know, I was. And next thing you know, I was like, I ain't drinking. That remorse feeling you get, you know, like, and the next thing you know, I'm like, maybe I can just have one. And it started out with one of them little quickies. The next thing you know, I was up to those big boys. And then I was drinking those big bottles of Jägermeister. One a night, just to get my ass kick-started, to get on my groove, to go pass out in the bar. But I had to make the call first, if you know what I mean. And then next thing you know, I'm passed out in these little yellow, you know, lines and grease all over my face saying, damn, how'd I get here? And I thought it was my bed. It's delusion there. That's insanity. And then, you know, going through life, I mean, I could, I ran with some pretty powerful people, and we used to run from here to Florida and back, and next thing you know, I'm in a federal pen, 5 years. I maxed out because I was so ashamed of myself. I didn't want anybody to know where I was at. I burned every damn bridge in the world, and I felt at home in that jail cell. I felt no one could get me. No one bothered me. And then it got boring after a while. And I got on my knees a couple times and said, God, how did I even get in these places? You remember them days? How'd I get here? How'd I even imagine? So then, you know, I got that through that stint, and swear I would never drink again. There's this the second time. I don't like this life that I'm living, but I didn't know how to get out of it because I didn't have 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Those 12 steps have saved me so many heartaches, so many headaches. And I did have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And there's another set of 12 steps after the 12 steps that you go through here. They're on the spiritual side. Tom Brady talks about them in a CD he has. And that's where I'm at today. But it took all that destruction and all that anxiety. I couldn't be accepted in the world. Sometimes I still can't be accepted in the world because I got long hair and I ride a bike. I mean, up here, yeah, sometimes. I mean, I was riding down Florida. Just as a matter of fact, we just got off vacation in Florida. They just looked at me like, hey, how you doing? You know? And I felt at home. Because I'm to a place in my life to where outside doesn't affect me anymore. I can walk outside them doors right there and feel socially acceptable. The first 5 years of my sobriety, I was two-stepping, as they call it. I was in the rooms. I went to like so many buku thousand meetings, and I helped a newcomer all the time because that's what my first sponsor told me. He took me through them steps. I can remember going through them steps and me being that egotistic bastard doing that fourth step. And I handed him my fourth step, and he handed it back to me. I was like, what are you handing it back to me for? That's everything. He goes, nah, there's more there. I could see it. He knew me more than I knew myself. And then the next thing you know, I hand it to him again. He goes, nah, there's still more there. And I was like, okay, you want it all? I'll give it to you. And I handed it right out. I laid everything out. I peeled that onion away so far, so deep, because I didn't care anymore. And back then with the old timers, when you did the fourth and fifth step, you were ready for 9 and 10. Luckily, when I came in, and, you know, Chris Raymer talks about it, to where, you know, people just don't know how to ask the right questions when they first come in. I didn't know. I had to be taught. I had to know what to share with my sponsor. And back then, you spoke up at a meeting, it better be good, or you got an earful. And that was the best thing I ever did. This is the best program that I ever am participating in and giving back. I've been given the priceless gift, and that is sobriety. And also says in this book that I've been given the gift of choice. I have choices today. Before, I didn't know I did. It also says in that book that I will cease fighting anything or anybody as recoiling from a hot flame. And it becomes automatic. I didn't know how to do that before. I love misery. Them four horsemen were in my pocket, and those seven deadly sins. I had to go through the steps to get rid of them. And that book tells me that if I get in so many situations, dishonesty, when the fear creeps in, the four and the four, they call it, the pill in the pocket, that creeps in, I have tools to get out of myself to become a better person. And I have. My ego is not there anymore. I put it in my back pocket. I bite my tongue. I eat crow. Humble pie. I love humble pie, man. It's cool. Got the crow feather hanging out. But that's how this program has taught me how to, you know, when I know that my sponsee, I have this one sponsee that's on fire. He's got flames in his eyes. He's helping newcomers. He's doing everything. Then I got a couple sponsees. They're like, yeah, I'll just, you know, mosey on along through this program. And I know when they come up to me, there's something wrong. Because you can see it in their eye. Christ, when I asked my first sponsor to be my sponsor, he says yes. Before I even had the question out, he knew. And now I can do the same thing because I know. And they come up to you with this off-the-wall 14-paragraph phrase, and they lay everything out on the table, and then me being taught the way that they was taught in this book, I just say a couple of, you know, paragraphs, and the guy's like, no, I never thought of it that way. I never knew that. It's in the book. That's why, you know, we have sponsors. Sponsorship is very important. Having a home group is very important. Helping newcomers is very important. Even if they call you on the phone. I know I had a couple of them call me on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Didn't have a clue what to tell them. Early in sobriety. Didn't have a clue. I just sat there and listened to them. I said, yo, what are you doing later on? I'm probably going to go to bed now. Next thing you know, they're in bed. And I call them up the next morning. We're out of meeting. You know how many times I quit AA? I'm not going to eat. And then an hour later, I'll be back in a meeting. That ego, you know, it's amazing. If I just let God row the boat, everything goes fine. It goes like a dream. It's like, I mean, I was in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. A guy named Tall Bill, we went over there to see him. And me and Christine, we went to Stuart, Florida. Just got off vacation. I rented a bike. Took 80 all the way out. Just no bothers in the world. Got into Fort Myers Beach. Didn't have nowhere to stay. Next thing you know, we're at a meeting. And God throws this person in there that's just had a couple days sobriety out of Key West that was in a meeting that was staying in a motel. And I was like, oh, cool. We'll just go over with them. So next thing you know, we're at a motel getting dropped off. Got a little sleep underneath her belt. Got a little water splashed on her bodies. And next thing you know, we're going down Alligator Alley. on a bike. Peaceful, calm, radio up a little bit. Serenity, peace. Because the first, you know, when we were on 80, when I first got on that bike, see, I call that bike the Serenity Seeker. Because the first 30 minutes, my mind, real quick, unravels everything that's built up in there, and it's set free. And next thing you know, I'm in a total happy place. Nothing can rock me. The first night when we stayed at my brother's house, I mean, we were the pilot program because he won't let anybody go down there. So we were the pilot program. You know, the first 2 hours, we're sitting outside and near the pool area, and the door got locked. The keys were inside with no cell phone. I'm like, I'm looking at her. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I finished, you know, doing what I was doing. I walked around. Luckily, he told me the code to the garage door, but then I had to get in the door. And me being a nice thief I am, you know, because I did that when I was in the, I broke right in, didn't damage anything, and got in and came back out and sat down and finished doing what we were doing. I didn't explode like I did before. And we were just talking about it earlier. The bears and the gnats. I could blow the house up, run over the dog. God forbid I won't do that. But I'm just saying, but a gnat, if somebody doesn't hold the door open for you, is there a resentment there? Yeah. Anger? Hell yeah. That bastard. You know? And then the next thing you know, you're like, all right. So this program has taught me how to just shrink it off, just let it go by. I'm like a duck. It rolls right off the back. And the next thing you know, I'm helping people in that. I mean, I'm helping alcoholics, non-alcoholics, elderly people. I'm just, you need help? Yeah, because that's my nature. I'm a helper. That's what God put me on this earth for, to help people. I was pure when I was younger. And then my mind corrupted that pureness. And AA is getting me back to that pureness. I have a tattoo on my heart. It's called Purity of Heart. God's magic. And it has Christina on the bottom of it. But purity of heart. What is that? It's on the Four Absolutes. It's on Dr. Bob's grave. If I strive for that every day, I get magic back. Sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't, but it's always there. And sometimes if I do an action, somebody will realize that action. Like I was sitting there eating, lunch one day, and I guess we were like, hey, let's go outside. No, I'm going to sit outside. I want to be away from people today. I don't want to be around that crowd anymore. And we sat outside, and the waitress comes out, and she had like a little, she had an attitude. And I just said, smile. I just said a couple words to this lady. Next thing you know, she's coming out, yeah, what's up? You know what I mean? It's like something so simple can make people change. And that's like an AA. It's like helping a newcomer. If you're there for them, if you know that book, you can help anybody. It becomes natural. But I have to practice. You know, I'm still practicing on these 12 steps. Sometimes it doesn't come automatic. Because I still want to be the spotlight. I still want to be in the spotlight. I know that every time I get in that damn spotlight, there's that unselfish fear, anxiety, ego, pride. Step right in, and I'm like, nah. I give myself 5 minutes. I just experienced this over the weekend. Something was happening. I gave my 5 minutes. And the next thing I'm like, I went up to Target Master and shot an automatic gun, dude. It's cool. I was having fun. I was having fun just by something so simple. And it says, right, I'm going to read this out of the big book. And it's so powerful. If asked what are the two most important things in recovery are, I would have to say willingness and action. I was willing to believe that AA was telling me the truth. I wanted to believe it was the truth in a way I could not relate in words. I wanted this thing to work. Then I began to take the course of action prescribed. Following the principles laid out in the big book, I have not yet been comfortable, nor I have claimed perfection. Now this is the kicker right here. Have I yet to find a place in the big book that says, now you have completed the steps, have a nice life. It says it right here. This program is a plan for lifetime of daily living. There have been occasions when the temptation to slack off has won. Yeah, it has won. When we get up in our head and that festering mental attitude kicks in. I view these as learning opportunities. When I'm willing to do the right thing, I'm rewarded with the inner peace that no amount of alcohol could ever provide. Is that a true statement? Very true. When I'm unwilling to do the right thing, I become restless, irritable, and discontent. It is always my choice. That's when you can start your day over 2,000 million times a day. And that serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can. God's got me through that. Through the 12 steps, I've been granted the gift of choice, which is true. I am no longer at the mercy of the disease that tells me the only answer is to drink. If willingness is the key to unlock the gates of hell, it is action that opens the door so that we may walk freely among the living. That's when we can walk outside them doors. Over the course of my sobriety, I've experienced many opportunities to grow. I have had struggles and achievements. Through it all, I have not had to take a drink, nor I have ever been alone. Willingness and action has seen me through it all. It's when you help another alcoholic or when you're having problems, you call another alcoholic. Willingness and action has seen me through it all. With the guidance of a loving higher power and the fellowship of the program, when I am in doubt, I have the faith that things will work out, will turn out the way they should. When I am afraid, I reach for another hand of Alcoholics Anonymous to steady me. And that's happened to me quite a few times. It just happened to me a little over 7 months ago, 8 months ago, an action. And I called this guy, Mike from Salisbury. And I was hurting bad. Somebody hurt my feelings, stepped on my heart, threw my heart through a window, ran over it a couple of times with an 18-wheeler. And the next thing you know, I had to make an action. And I'm calling Mike up on the phone. I said, Mike, I need help. I'm hurting. The next thing you know, he goes, I'm going to Hagerstown. I want a face-to-face. Me being an alcoholic says, no. I just want to sit in my room and have that self-pity all over me. And the next thing you know, I just thought about it for a couple seconds. I said, let me give you a call back. And I called Paula. And Paula had a ticket there, and she just had surgery. And I said, Paula, you still have your ticket up at Hagerstown? She goes, yeah. I said, I need it. She goes, no problem. Next thing you know, I'm on my way up to Hagerstown. He calls me. I was on 695. And he goes, where are you at? I said, I'm coming to see you. I need help. Next thing you know, I'm up at Hagerstown. The first 6 hours when I was up there, I was still hurting. They couldn't get me out of it. And then I prayed. I was like, God, please help me. I need help. And then Stanley Black comes walking through. I was like, thank you. I walked right over to Stanley, and Stanley goes, hey, Robbie, what are you doing? I was like, dude, I need help. He goes, looks around. Next thing you know, I'm in a room. Him and I laid everything on the table. Next thing you know, we're on our knees praying. I walked out of that room, a total changed, different man. I had a blast. I was dancing. Met so many people in AA. I opened myself up to let somebody know what was going on with me. I wear my feelings on my shoulder today. I can cry. When I gave my mom, I asked my mom what she wanted that first year of sobriety. She goes, could you give me another year of what you just gave me? And that took me 20 years to do that. I just gave her 10 years. Wow. Because I am programmed to drink, drug, destroy, and uproot relationships. That's how I'm programmed. But this book tells me I ain't got to be that way anymore. And then the next thing you know, I'm living in a fan. I call this the greatest show on earth. You know that? You know why? Because I get to meet total different people that I wouldn't associate with. They're going through problems like I am. I have experience. You have experience. We help each other. And we get through things. And God throws these people in my life that are out of somewhere. I don't even know how they come into my life. We were flying down to Florida. And me having a long hair, I turn to Christine. I go, no one's going to sit with us because I have long hair. They're profiling me. And then the next thing you know, young lady comes sit, and she's skinny as a rail, sits down. Her and I are talking. And I knew she was getting uncomfortable, and I went to everyone and said, hey, I'm Rob. This is Christine. Come to find out, I said, what are you doing? Going to Florida. And she goes, I'm going down to a rehab. I said, how many days of sobriety you got? She goes, I have 24 hours. I talked AA with her all the way there. I gave her numbers. You can't plan that. Can you plan that? No. Hold on. And then I was sitting there thinking, you know, as everything was transpiring, I was like, damn, yeah, this is my plan, and I wasn't even a part of it. How dare him? And that's how my life's been since. I mean, since I didn't really start living these steps until I got like 7 years sobriety. I didn't really start living and being comfortable in my own skin and looking myself in the mirror and seeing somebody. Them steps have got me through everything. And then I give that back to somebody. I'm one of God's carriers. Because I love to see when people come into this program broke down, hurt, that sigh of destruction on their eyes, and working with that person and watch them glow. They start getting that glow. I'm like, yeah, they're on their way. And don't get me wrong, and I'll bet you everybody in this program has done it. You take other people's inventory. Come on now. I did. And guess what? I've been wrong so many times. And I love it. I'm like, man, I don't know. There's something about this person. The next thing you know, man, they're on fire. And I'll give you an example. I went to this one meeting. It was on a Monday. And it was dusting off the big book in Newcastle. And there was an old-timer in there. And I used to go to this meeting the first 2 years of my sobriety because I didn't have a car. I took the bus 15 into Wilmington all the time. Man, I was on one of them $2.75 bus passes every day. And so I was in dusting off the big book, and this old timer was in there. He had like buku years. And this guy came in reeking with alcohol. So it was a men's meeting. And this old timer was like, man, yo, smell him. I'm like, yeah, where else are we supposed to go? Duh. And the next thing you know, I mean, this guy's like really cutting down. I was like, so, I mean, I was young, and I was like, yo, man, what's going on? I started talking to this gentleman. Next thing you know, the guy, the old-timer, I haven't seen him in goddamn, apparently he's out drinking. The guy that I sat there and talked to has almost 6 years of sobriety. I mean, for me, I know it says in this big book that another alcoholic will drink again, but for me, the alcohol has been put on another table. It's not even an option for me today. The option is not even there. And I don't care if, I mean, you say it's ego and pride. What's the difference between ego and pride? That's a good question. You know what ego is? That bastard's not going to get me today. And the pride is that I have Alcoholics Anonymous to help me through it. That's pride. I feel proud to be a part of this program. You know, I'm grateful to have somebody come up here and ask me to speak. It's a gift. What I say could hurt a newcomer. That's why I choose my words wisely. Father Martin said it down at Northeast. He can drive somebody out of this room so quick. Because me being an alcoholic, I can lash out with my tongue anytime. And they have a step for that. It's called restraint of pen and tongue. You know how many times I restrained my pen and tongue? A lot. Goes along with that humble pie and that eating crow. And, you know, I carry the message to other alcoholics because I feel the obligation, and I've been given a priceless gift. That priceless gift I can never repay. The only way that I know how to, you know, work off that debt is to give back what was freely given to me. And when I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't know how I would be, who I was going to be to become, and where I was going. I was scared. I was lonely. I was frightened. I was scared of you people. You know, people didn't shake my hand when I walked up, but yet I seen other people shake their hand. I went to my sponsor. My sponsor goes, well, why don't you shake their hand? I'm like, hey, that's a good question. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Next thing you know, I'm shaking everybody's hand. I'm like, yeah. Because, you know, where my area is, and it's kind of a shame that when I go away, I call it, I get a new set of glasses. Because I get a new taste of AA. I can go to Salisbury. Like, I need to get out of my comfort zone. I'm getting used to the same routine. I need a change. I need a new message. Because, you know, you try to, when I go to a meeting and it's an open discussion meeting, the speaker has the tone of that meeting. And when they give that tone to that meeting, God knows where it's going to lead. Because you guys like to throw everything into the mix. How you're feeling, what you're doing. And back, the percentage rate back then than it is now, they say it's a higher back then because they didn't take no bull crap. But meetings are meetings. And I was always taught, if a meeting starts going bad, you throw good in. You take everything. You don't take what you need. Because eventually you might need that. Or somebody that you're sponsoring or with you might get that experience. I sponsored this one gentleman. He should get out in 2012 on his 9th and 10th step. He turned himself in for a crime. He killed somebody. He was set free that day when he turned himself in. I was set free when I did my 9 and 10. There's a lot of people on my list. Maybe I'll see them. Maybe I won't. I know I tried to do it, you know, maybe I'm in AA, I can do this. You know, the first time I did it, I didn't like the outcome. My sponsor said, you should have called me first. I'm like, no, not me, I can do this. I had my Superman cape on. And next thing I know, I went to a Red Line meeting at 10 o'clock. Put on that good show we can go on, you know, that smiley face. Yeah, everything's still great. Yeah, I've been on fire. Next thing I ended up in a liquor store parking lot, and I wanted to drink, and the man was going in, and I wanted to give up. And it's true what that book says. Them 20 minutes were hell. They were hell because of my ego, my pride. And then next thing you know, the people see me how I was in that meeting. Because they said it early, and you go to the same meeting so people get to know you. So you can't bullcrap them. And they called me. They ripped that phone apart, man. That phone was on fire. I couldn't answer them quick enough. And I got through it, and I didn't drink. And I stand before you right now, a first nighter. I haven't drank yet. And guess what? I did have 2 DUIs in one day. And I was proud of that. I know how to cheat the system. I know they don't look at names. I had anybody in the block. Hey, here, sign this. Oh, that came something out, you know. And I got that's called, you know, bullshit. They always say in this program that words are bullshit. They are. Because you can tell me anything. I want to see the action part. The show me. Show me. Because how many times have we said, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. I promise. And the next thing you know. And it always happens right before a big thing's going to happen the next day. Doesn't it? It always happens that way. And the next thing you know, you're riding around. I remember in Thanksgiving, I remember I rode around. And I had a 6-pack in the back. And I was about halfway done my beer. And I was like, man, I think I need more. I didn't even go to Thanksgiving dinner. I ended up somewhere, I don't even know. I ended up in Florida, probably. I don't know. And I know I'm kind of jumping around, but I don't know what's coming out my mouth. I was on the way up, and Christine's like, did you practice for this? I'm like, no. It's like... I was like, they always say in AA that you always think of what you're going to say, and then you're going to say it, and then next thing you know, I'm going to leave here and go, damn, maybe I should have said this. Maybe I should have said that. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm here to help the newcomer or somebody to try to achieve sobriety or to get another level in their spiritual. I love spirit. You're looking at a man that died in his full addiction. I flatlined but almost killed that guy, hitting a tree. I flatlined 2 Mays ago. Well, it'll be 2 Mays this coming May because of cancer. I have cancer. It's in remission. And they went in and I died, flatlined. I don't know what God has in store for me, but it's got to be something. I guess to, you know, help a newcomer or whatever. And it says, rarely have we seen a person fail as thoroughly follow this path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot and will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women are in the constitution and capable of being honest with themselves. It's called looking in the mirror. Can you look at yourself in the mirror and see somebody? I can look at myself in the mirror and see somebody. I have an awesome time today. And I love to smile. I love to put smiles on people's faces. I love to watch people grow in this program. I love to watch people come into that destructive state and get that glow. That is a priceless gift. And, you know, it says in 11, it was all through prayer and meditation. I'm no longer lost or frightened. I didn't know how to pray in the beginning. It was in foxhole prayers in the beginning. I'll tell you that right now. God, I'm $20,000 in debt. Could you help me out here? When I first walked in, I was $20,000 in debt. Didn't have anything to, and, you know, I don't know how I repaid that. But I got it all paid off. My insecurity of finances have left. You know, it's not the house, and I always say that, it's not the house on top of the hill with the white picket fence and the objects that you have. It's not that. It's an inside job. It's a reward that you can look at and be happy with. Because I can tell you right now, I have an H3 paid for and I have a $60,000 motorcycle paid for. That doesn't give me happiness. That's just the byproduct of this program. That's where this program has given me, you know, it's amazing. I can pull some stuff out of this book that it's amazing that my sponsor, my first sponsor, has given, you know, has taken me through these this book. And I'm going to close, semi-close with God willing, we, members of AA, may never again have to deal with drinking, but we have to deal with sobriety every day. How do we do this? Learning through practicing the 12 steps and through sharing at meetings how to cope with problems that we look to booze to solve. Back in our drinking days, for an example, we are told in AA that we cannot afford resentments and self-pity, so we learn how to avoid these festering mental attitudes. We rid ourselves of guilt and remorse as we clean out the garbage from our minds through the fourth and fifth step of our recovery program. We learn how to level out the emotional swings that got us into trouble both when we were up and when we were down. We are taught the differences between our wants, which are never satisfied, and our needs, which are always are provided for. We cast off the burden of the past and the anxiety of the future as we begin to live in the present, one day at a time. We are granted the gift, we are granted the serenity to accept the things we cannot change and thus lose the quickness to anger and our sensitivity to criticize. Wow, that's amazing. Above all, we reject, fantasize, and accept reality. The more I drank, the more I fantasized everything. I imagined getting even hurt and rejected in my mind's eye. I played and replayed scenes in which I was plucked magically from the bar where I stood nursing a beer, nursing a drink, and was instantly exalted in position of power and prestige. I was living in a dream world. AA has led me gently from a fantasized to embrace reality with open arms. I have found it beautiful, for at last I was at peace with myself, with others, and with God. Wow. This book does that, first 164 pages. That is the gift of sobriety. I know that newcomers can teach me. I know old timers can teach me. I know people in drugstores, grocery stores can teach me how to live life. go volunteer at a cancer ward or volunteer at, you know, Ronald McDonald House. I do that for my work. And I'm going to close with this. You'll see a little kid in a little stroller strapped up, laughing his ass off, strolling around. And you're there to, you know, just to help him. And, you know, that's magic. That's one of God's children. And for that, I am truly grateful and honored to share my experience, strength, and hope with this group. That is amazing. I was asked to speak somewhere. Usually it's like, don't come back. I don't know if I'll ever be asked to come back, but, you know. But I know I can hear about, you know, I did say a forum about a year and a half sobriety. It's a radio program, I know. And I was asked to do it. And I was listening to that about 3 months ago. And it's called The Sixth Step. That hoop you have to jump through is a lot bigger than what you than you think it is. Why listen to that when I first started and where I'm at now is totally different. You know, when you highlight all that stuff in your big book and then you go back through and go, what was I thinking there? Damn. Or I'll go to, I mean, my first couple years of sobriety, I went to this big book, 12 and 12, tradition, step, first couple years of my sobriety. I knew what everything was. And then I ran them over again. I'm like, damn. The light bulb clicks. You're like, yeah, man, cool. It's when God's time, when you're ready, He'll throw it. And you'll get it, and the light will click on. So for that, thank you for having me up here. And may God go with you.